Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book that you can know me." And I really feel that we all need to step it up in our time in the Word of God. How many agree there? That there's life in the Word. He says that it's life and health to all our flesh. And we really can't wait for a calamity to happen to spend time in God's Word. Are you hearing me? We need to just spend time in it, digest it, grow. Because there are spiritual laws as well as there are natural laws. There are laws that are posted. And there are some things that even though they're unwritten, we're expected to abide by them. True? Between Michigan and California, we have on our laws probably one of the most of all the states. But it's amazing to me that if you know the law, you can follow the law, what's going on. Are you with me? Well, there's same thing in the, there's laws of faith that operate. That Jesus said, plant a seed, the seed will grow and produce a harvest. How many knows that's a spiritual law? True? How many knows you reap what you sow? How many knows that's a spiritual law? And when we start to understand them and start to work them, they work for us too. Give and it shall be. How many knows that's totally opposite of the world? How many knows that's totally opposite? But that's how God operates. His spiritual laws are in operation. So we need to work that. And I know this for a fact. If you're a giver, there may be times it may be lean, but God will always come through for you. And there'll be a time of bountiful harvest too. It's seed, time, and harvest. So don't give up on that seed. Even if you planted seed in other places, I have. I can still expect a return on that seed. Are you with me? Every farmer that plants knows where they planted. And each crop comes in at a different time. How many want to get to a place that on every wave, it's a blessing coming in? Well, that's pretty weak. That means there's going to have to be a time to sow that way. It'll take time to get there. But believe me, the end will be greater than the beginning. As we continue on this knowing who our great God, Jehovah or Yahweh, in Judges chapter 6, verse 24, and Gideon built an altar there. How many knows that we don't need to physically erect one, but we need to build that altar on our hearts? Yes or no? All of us need to bring a sacrifice of praise. I said all of us do. And it needs to be a daily thing. You enter his courts with what? How many of those, then it continues there with praise. And then when you get into the holiest of holies, it's worship. It's a good way to enter into his presence. It's also a good way to begin your prayer time and end your prayer time. Put the request in the middle of it, seal it with that area of worship. It gets you in the right attitude. Sometimes we can pray with a bad attitude. Oh, nobody in here. How many of you, you can still voice those words? Sometimes praying is kind of the easiest part. Receiving seems to be a little more of the struggle. Oh, I'm preaching now. How many of us that we can see whatsoever we ask in prayer, what do we need to do? We need to believe. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. How many of us that peace is a dominant factor in the Bible? It's an attribute there of God. We need peace today. How many need peace? How many knows it's great when just things are peaceful? I like living a quiet and peaceful life. That doesn't mean there isn't activity. But how many know sometimes the chaos gets great out there? We need to start knowing our God as the God of peace. And there are many times you got to strive, and dare I say, fight to have peace in your home. Sometimes there needs to be some battles done so there's some peace on every side. Oh, it's pretty quiet here. There are times in life, families, friends, situations can bring some unrest. True peace is the antidote for fear, unrest, and turmoil. And I love about this is that God can speak a word in a situation that's totally bad and bring peace to the situation. One of the accounts I just read was in when Pharaoh, when Joseph interpreted the dream, that Pharaoh was troubled by the dream he had. He had two visions of this dream. And that Joseph was finally remembered and they called him forth from prison and said, Pharaoh, the dream, the two is just one. That God will give you the peace you need. How many knows the great interpretation of a word brings peace? There are times God wants to speak that word, but sometimes everything else is screaming, we don't hear it. How many ever heard it's going to be okay when it's all turmoil? I mean, sometimes you got to grab a hold of that. But when you have the God of peace, you can go, you know what? I can trust in my God. You can walk out saying, you know what? He's going to work something out. There's peace in that situation. Amen? For some of you know that I'm having some radiation treatments. I only got two more to go. Hallelujah. I walked in there and I asked, well, how many more do I have to go? They said, well, you can be done on Tuesday morning. I'm like, cool. How many know sometimes you don't even have to ask questions? Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Tuesday, I'm done. I'm thinking I have it all marked out the rest of the week. I'm like, Tuesday, I'm all set. Hallelujah. I'm believing that I'm cancer free. Amen. He is my portion. Are you with me? I work through this too, but God, we need to know Him as the God of peace. There are times that you need to speak that. You are my shalom. You are my peace, O God. No, learning these names, we need to apply it. It's nice to quote them. In Psalm 29, verse 11, the Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. That's a promise. And one that we need to speak. Lord, You said You'd bless Your people and bless them with peace. When the enemy tries to bring turmoil into your situation, no, in the name of Jesus. Amen? I have this rule. My wife will attest to this. Everyone's welcome to my home, but you're coming peacefully, and there's going to be peace while you're there and peace when you leave. Say amen. And if there isn't, something's going to move. Is that too brash? Or how many knows that's just reality? True? There's enough chaos. People need that area. Amen? I like the old homes where they used to put swings on porches. Amen? When people used to just come over and just sit without 16 things looking at. How many of those phones, as much as they've helped, they've hurt relationships? They've made people so short with things. Amen? It's like, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's reality. Sometimes you just need an unplugged day. I'm not saying that you need to respond to your messages, but sometimes, you know what? If this is time for the Lord or time with people, it can wait. Just think back when you had to find a payphone to talk to somebody. And we still made it, didn't we? When I was growing up, I don't know what I did all summer, but bless God, I did something, honestly. I had the family just go and come back when the lights came on. Anybody have me like that? Where did I eat lunch at? I look back and go, I know I was fed. Amen? We put in so much stock in that that we've missed relationships. In Proverbs 3, verse 2, the length of days and long life and peace will be added unto you. In verse 17 of Proverbs 3 says this, her ways are the ways of pleasantness and her paths are peace. We know the scripture in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and guess what? The Prince of Peace. He'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind and heart is set on Him. And that's where the battle is. It's putting our hearts and minds on Him. Not on the situation, but on Him. We need to start focusing on it and say, God, teach me just to keep my heart and mind on You. Believe me, your symptoms will cry out. Your circumstance will cry out. But God says, listen to me, keep it on me. If you look at your God, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything? I just went through Exodus where all the plagues were brought on the Egyptians. And believe me, it's pretty nasty, okay? There were flies, there were lice, there were frogs, the whole thing turned into blood. I mean, that's pretty nasty stuff. How about this? Boils broke out on all those I mean, it's pretty bad. How about having a hailstorm that it would kill all the crops and kill all the animals out there? And if you were outside, you got hit too. And then the locusts come right after that, and if there's anything left, it ate the rest of it. The land of Egypt was totally demolished when the children of Israel left. Yet Pharaoh said, yeah, I'll let them go. I'm not letting them go. Until the last one, where all the firstborn died. And they finally screamed, get out of the land. I mean, sometimes we push it to a great limit and we don't have to. I believe Pharaoh could have repented and said, you know what? There's no God like your God. I mean, sometimes we push it to the limit. And believe me, when I read the book of Revelation, the end of the book, some people will even curse God when these things happen. They'll shake their fists and say, who do you think you are? One day God's going to bring this earth back under subjection totally. I'm glad I'm submitted to Him. Amen? How many need the Prince of Peace to work? He's Jehovah our peace. That peace is for the individual and also for a nation. Anyone who returns to the Lord. Some of you have been away from the Lord, and when you came back, man, peace flooded your heart. How many ever felt that out there, and you don't know how, it's like convicted and you don't feel right, and it's hard to describe. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But when you finally just, Lord, I come to you, something changed. Well, we also, I want everybody in here, and I'm not saying you wouldn't be, I need us to be welcoming to people that God's going to bring back to return. He spoke a word to me and said, listen to me, I'm going to work on people. I haven't given up on them. They may have lost their way, whatever the situation is. We need to welcome people back. Amen? Because they're still in the kingdom. Everybody with me on that? When I look at peace, Jesus purchased that. The blood of the cross worked in Colossians 1 verse 20. And by Him He's reconciled all things, whether in things in heaven or on earth, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. When Jesus said, it is finished, He took it all. It's such a great thing. The kingdom was in turmoil until Christ came in and set it free. No longer the blood of bulls and goats for another year God could pass over. Now it's finished once and for all. I love it. And the church has that promise. I believe this with all my heart, that we should be at such peace that the world recognizes we have a different strength than them. We have a different love than them. We have a different power than them. That when somebody needs peace, they can look at the church and say, you know what? What I have isn't what you have. I need what you got. When the church looks like the world, why would the world even want to change? That's why I struggle when I see churches so compromised. And who are you trying to keep anyways? You compromise with it, they're sooner or later going to leave anyways. How many want to walk in that peace? Then we need to have that Jehovah, you are my peace. Amen. You've broken down that wall. In Ephesians 2 verse 17, it says this, and He came and preached peace to all those who were far off. That should be our message too. How many ever diffused the situation because you were peaceful? Amen. Some kind words in that area, just kind of, instead of lighting the bomb, you kind of diffused it. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I can see Jesus doing that, coming into situations. And believe me, Jesus wasn't a wimp either. I don't like when people make Him out to be nothing. He was a powerful dude. He preached righteousness. Even when it was going to be a hindrance to His life, He still spoke the truth in love. He always addressed the issue, the situation. Isn't that cool? Can God still speak it in your life? How many in here need some peace? Just lift your hand. You need a peace in a situation. I understand that. Then the Lord speak peace over that. Father, in the name of Jesus, bring peace for your people. Lord, the situations that seem to be out there, Father, work. Work within us, God, that we can leave today with the peace of God that passes understanding. Lord, every situation into your hands. Now begin to give that over to the Lord. The symptoms, the struggles, the problems, whatever it is, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, and I walk in your peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When I think about how he spins this earth on nothing, it's really a peace to me. It's really comforting to know that my God can do anything. Amen? And I often looked at the children of Israel. When they entered into the land, there was a great famine. And Joseph was sent ahead of them to preserve their life. When he finally got that revelation, he could release all bitterness. But God wanted them brought into the land so he could preserve his remnant. And I often thought about that. If that didn't take place, the chances of the children of Israel being scattered would have been evident. But since they were all taken in the land of Goshen, he could have a corporate blessing on them and multiply them while they were there. That they may came in with a few, but they were going to leave a nation. Isn't that cool? That God will always work it out. Now I'm going to make it today modern vernacular. It's so important for us to be a body of Christ because he's making a nation of believers together. We need one another. We don't need to be co-mingling with the world. Oh, you're hearing this. Lord, we need to be set on you. All the more as we see his day approaching. I don't know when he's going to return, but I'm looking for him every day. If he doesn't return in my lifetime, it's only because more people need to get saved. Amen? I thank God for his salvation. But we need to start looking for his return. Start expecting him to work. And you know what? He's already at work today. He's just going to continue to amplify more of it. America needs prayer. We need to bathe our state, our country again in prayer. There are so many schisms everywhere. I mean, who'd ever think that fake news would be something? Come on, good night. It's already bad enough as it is normal. Come on, we got to wake up. Amen. Which leads me to the next area, Jehovah Sabaoth, or the Lord of hosts. How many knows he's the Lord of hosts? In 1 Samuel 1, verse 3, it says, and this man went from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. I love this, that God says, I am the one who is in charge of it all. I'm the sovereign one. I am the Lord of hosts. I mean, it just can't get any higher than that. Over everything seen and unseen, over every angelic host that you know of, I am he. I love that. That my God isn't just have a little power, he has all power. I said he has all power. And he loves to show it on his behalf to his people. Now, God's pretty dramatic too. He really is. He doesn't mind a dramatic flair. Not that he's trying to be like, hey, no. If you think about Elisha, when he called down fire, notice it was done after. You guys go all day long, make your sacrifices, make your incantations, do all your stuff. But when it gets dark, it gets dusk, it's my turn. And during the day, maybe scream louder. Maybe your God can't hear you. He would taunt them. I love that. Maybe your God went to the bathroom. You just keep going. And then he said, okay, you're done. I want you to soak it. Soak that offering. Dump more water. Fill the ditches full. And when it had the greatest time, and how many knows that in the dusk, twilight, you can see things greater? God will smite this offering with fire. Boom. How many think that'd be like pretty cool? Yes or no? That's the God we serve. You want to see my power? I'll show you. But I want to show on your behalf how great I am. There are times you need to speak, Lord, you're the sovereign Lord. You have the final say-so in this situation. Come on, you need to speak that to your situations. You can hear all this from everyone else. God's word is the final word. How many knows he's the Lord of hosts? I said he's the Lord of hosts. Each one of us need to recognize that he's the one, he's the sovereign one. In Psalm 46, verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. I love this. In Amos 5, verse 27, therefore I'll send at you captive beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the Lord of hosts. In Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Young lions will have lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. The Lord of hosts indicates sovereignty in every land, ability to fulfill every promise on his behalf, for my behalf. If God gives you a promise, he'll put everything on that promise. I'll fulfill it for you. And if you think about it, we trust him with our whole life in salvation. Let's learn to trust him in other areas too. The big one we got down and we believe it. True, how many believe heaven's going to be your home? How many believe you're saved? That's a promise. It's worked in you. That's the biggest part of ever. It's your whole life. Lord, teach me to trust you in the other things. Amen? I got a time in my devotion right now where, Lord, this is what you said about the situation. I'm not moving from it. I'm not moving. You said this, then Lord, everything has to respond to that. And sometimes you got to speak it to your own self. Amen? Sometimes this is pretty powerful and can answer pretty quickly. The Lord of hosts, every host, angelic or not. Hezekiah learned this when an angel came and slew 185 Assyrians. Elijah learned this when a raven could come and feed him. Joshua learned this when the sun stood still. Daniel learned this when he shut the lion's mouth. We need to learn it, that God will be with us and do the impossible. If he worked for these gentlemen, he'll work for us too. Amen? Now, if you read the plagues in Egypt, there was a time where 3 days it was light in Goshen and darkness in the land of Egypt. That it was so dark, it says that people couldn't even see one another. They groped around in great darkness. Hallelujah. But there's always light where the people of God are. He always has a deliverance power. When I look in the Old Testament, there are so many demonstrations of who he was. How much more in the New Testament? The church needs to get back to our God is God, and there's no one like him. He wants to do the same today. He wants to demonstrate to a world that I am he. I am the Lord. How many want the Lord to use you in these last days? Then position yourself. God, use me. It can be at your job. It can be at your school. It can be at your home. It can be at your neighborhood. Have the opportunity. Lord, here am I. I don't know what to do, but you can work through me. Amen? And then take advantage of a situation where if somebody isn't feeling well, I'll pray for you. How many of God can work that out? Maybe he'll share a word of encouragement. Maybe you're standing in the checkout line and you feel that little nudging to share. That's not the devil. Just open up. Say, you know what? Can I share with you some good news? It's good news. Even if they totally blow you off and make you feel like a mess, you did what God wanted to. Jesus said, if they hate you, they hated me first. But you're delivering a word. And some of us may even responded like that before we got our life right. Oh, I'm preaching now. When I look at next year, and I'll cover one more. Jehovah Rapha. It's the Lord, Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. We all know Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down where? Do you know what? That's a place that's lush and green and well watered. Then if you're laying down with stubble and weeds and nothing to eat, that's not where your shepherd's leading you. Then you're going to lead me to a place where I can bed down and have enough to eat. I won't have to look for daily bread. Oh, you're hearing this. The world is eating the stubble. You should be eating the good stuff. He's my shepherd. He'll lead me in paths of righteousness. Notice the shepherd's job is always, always, always to lead him to water and food. and never drive them so hard they can't make it. As your pastor, I try to lead this way, honest to God, that not one of us is left behind. Let's all keep moving. Let's all keep moving. Amen? We'll get there. It may take a little bit longer, but we'll get there. If you're doing any work in the ministry, lead people in paths of righteousness. Don't overdrive the people. Love on them, encourage them, and feed them. And when they need to rest, allow it to happen. Sometimes we can get so much into busyness. Amen? When I was younger, there were some events that I did that after it was over, honestly, God, I get, what did we do? How many knows there's not much profit in that? Yes, God moved. Yes, God did things. But you need to enjoy the journey. Amen? You know, when God leads you in paths of righteousness, as much as you want to eat, you can eat. Do you know what? As much time as you want to pray, you can pray. As much time as you want to spend in the Word, you can do that. There's no law against it. You can grow as much as you want to grow. We need to take advantage of it. In the spiritual realm, it isn't so categorized like, well, in 1 year, here's what you accomplished. No, you can accomplish that much in 2 days in the Spirit. Come on, let's grow in that grace. Let's grow in that. Jesus matured in those things. He grew in stature between God and man. Is this good this morning? Yes. How many need him as your shepherd? Yes. I need him as my shepherd. Yes. He is my shepherd. Yes. Now, in my family, here's a little paradigm that we have to work through. That my wife is my wife. She's always my wife. But my wife has recognized that I'm also her pastor too. How many knows that's a whole paradigm there? And she's recognized that I don't overstep my bounds, but I'm also a pastor to her too. How many knows everything's done decently in order? Amen? And if I'm ever on a boat, I make her say I'm captain. Permission to come to board, captain? She'll say, shut up, I'm not saying that. So there's some things I get away with, but no. But I never take advantage of position. When I look at the Lord in Psalm 95, verse 7, it says this, He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. We are the sheep of His hand. I love that. I am He. I have an identity. And with that, I belong to Him. Then as my great shepherd, you will take care of me. Isn't that comforting to know? When you get saved, you get the whole package. You get eternity with Him and a great journey with Him while you're going there. That you don't have to wait to get there to know Him. You can walk with Him. In this church, I want you to know Him. That when you see Him, the declaration, you are my shepherd. It's so true. You are my sovereign Lord. It's so true. That identity is real. Come on. You know Him. You identify with Him, and also you walk with Him. Isn't that good? And I'll close with this. In Psalm 100, verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It's Him who made us, not of ourselves. And we are people of His sheep and of His pasture. He guides us in the wilderness. He leads us beside still waters. He makes us rest. He feeds us. All these are scriptural bases of our great shepherd. Amen? Now, I've worked with real sheep. When sheep are at peace, well-fed and watered, when you put them in where they need to go, they will lay down and rest. It's only when things are bothering them, like us, they lose sleep. It affects their wool. Now, I'm going to be real honest. Everybody smile at me. As a shepherd, one of my jobs is to view the sheep. And when a sheep will not come to the shepherd, it's an instant red flag. Because sooner or later, every sheep picks up a burr. And it gets in the wool. And since it's so thick, it grows over it until it goes to the very skin. Then it gets infected. If you don't keep yourself under shepherd care, the great shepherd first, you'll become infected sometime or another by the world and its situations. No one can be outside the shepherd's care. There are times that when we work with real sheep, we had to shear a portion of where they're at to get to where that burr was, and then we slowly held it down and removed it, put on some salve, kept it clean until it was healthy again. If people don't understand this principle, they will miss it. He is our shepherd. And when we come before Jesus, He takes a quick inspection. He'll rub on you. He'll appreciate you. He'll put some salve on. He'll coat your ears so the flies don't eat it. Hallelujah. He'll make sure you're healthy and go in there. If you keep leaving the other sheep and you're always playing at the fence and you get out and someday you're out there, He'll find you and He'll snap a leg and He'll carry you for a while so you don't run again. Some of you have learned that lesson. He's our great shepherd. Hallelujah. That's why when I do this here, believe me, I do it with great honor and also great responsibility. That, Lord, I'm going to do it right with joy. Hallelujah. And I'm honored to be your pastor. I really am. I don't want to pastor any other church in my life. I want to be here with you. I want to grow old with all of you. I'll still look the same, but you'll all get older, but I'll still love you. Amen. How many want to know Him? You enjoyed this morning? Father, thank You for Your word. It's unchangeable. You're unmovable. And Lord, teach us to learn who You are. That You are our peace. Hallelujah. Lord, You are the Lord of hosts. Lord, we thank You, Lord God, in every provision, Lord. You'll never leave us, nor will You forsake us. That, Lord Jesus, today, Lord, we walk in that power and strength. Now, Father, bless Your people with peace. Lord, Your sovereign rule in their life. And Lord, as the great shepherd of their soul, go with them, Lord God. And Lord, we have an expectation today we can lie down in peace, well fed, and taken care of. Because that's Your provision. I thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Enjoy the day. God bless you. We'll see you real soon.